The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, located at 41 Cross Street, just above the magnificent, fabulous, very, very tasty Alto Forno restaurant. We're there at the first floor. We got the second floor. So come by and visit us if you're in the neighborhood. I can't believe how many people signed up for our newsletter. This has been like, it's been a roller coaster. A blast of people signing up for our newsletter over the past 3 or 4 weeks. We're getting 10 to 12 people each week signing up for the newsletter. We're delighted to have you on board. Thanks for signing up. Hope you enjoy Planning Pointers, which comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the website. Down at the bottom of every page is your opportunity to sign up for our newsletter. You're doing a great job. We're approaching 7,500 now subscribers. So welcome aboard, and we love having you as part of the subscription group that gets financial advice in a language you can understand for free. That's right, for free. You're not going to get me calling you or anything like that. No one's going to pester you because you've signed up for the newsletter. It's just information, and when you believe the time is right, when the time is right for you, if it is ever right, for you to say, you know what, I'd like to consult and explore the services of a certified financial planner, someone who can help me get my financial house in order, someone that can point me down the path and try to answer all of these questions that I just have rumbling in my head, or these crazy responses that I get from neighbors, friends, and relatives who think they know what's best for me. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial situation, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Got a bunch of things to talk about today. We want to talk about an email that I got actually this week from a recent listener of ours. I want to share that with him. It has everything to do with IRAs and when to take money from your IRA. We've got some statistics that came out from MFS. They provide me with this report called By the Numbers. They send it each and every week to me. It's got little tidbits of information. I'll share a few of those with you because, boy, did we have a couple volatile weeks in the market. Imagine this. Thursday and Friday of last week, market drops 1,100 points. It then opens up on the following Monday up 650 points. Which way to go? What to do? Oh, my goodness. You know what it means? Do nothing. That's what it means. Do nothing. When markets get volatile, fools lose. And fools lose when they try to predict. Now's the time to get out. Now's the time to get in. Good luck to you. Investing is a long-term strategy. It's not a speculative business. It's not, speaking of this, speculative business. So I got this, here's an interesting statistic just to kind of start us off. Report comes out that did you know that over the past 5 years, 20% of all daily trading activity, 20% of all daily trading activity every day for the past 5 years happens in the last 15 minutes of the day. So you oftentimes wonder when you're watching the stock market, you say, oh, look, it's up 200 points for the day, and then all of a sudden it ends down 400. That's because 27% of trading happens in the last 15 minutes of the day. Think about that. It used to be 15%, which is still a lot, but now it's 27%. That's close to a third of all trades are placed at the end of the day. And so some people will call up brokers and they'll say, I want to place a trade. I want to sell a certain number of shares or whatever. And they'll call it 345, 350. And the broker will say, look, I'm doing the best I can. I can't get your trade to go through. Well, That's problematic because it's a very volatile period of time because it's very, very active at that last 15 minutes. But here's something of interest. Did you know that if you want to buy a mutual fund or sell a mutual fund, it doesn't matter what day, what time of day you place the trade, because it's only going to be executed, the trade's going to go off at one time. Did you know that? So if you called up your advisor or you're going online on Fidelity or Schwab or wherever you choose to go and you want to buy 100 shares of the XYZ mutual fund and it's 11:05 and the market's actually up 200 points for the day and you're thinking, okay, I want to buy today. This would be a great time to purchase, whether I'm not suggesting whether it is or not. And you put that trade in and you'll get a confirmation back from Fidelity says that we've received your trade order. But it does not say that your trade has been executed, because your trade will be executed at close of business that day. Doesn't matter that the market was up 200 points or the market was down 300 points at 3 o'clock. Whatever the market closes at 4 o'clock on that day, as long as you've made your trade between 9:30 and 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you will get the closing price, no other price. So if you call up and you, because a lot of times, this will happen a lot, is now that people can buy and sell securities on their own, they'll go to Fidelity.com, for instance, and they'll buy the ABC Mutual Fund at 11 o'clock at night because they were out at a cocktail party and they heard from their friend, I want to buy this fund. And they pull it up on their app on their phone and they type in the code, they type in the symbol, they type in the number of shares and they say, buy. And they just assume that they're going to buy it at the open when the market opens that day. The reality is you won't. If you purchase, if you place a trade at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday, your trade will be purchased at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. So whatever happens between now and 4 o'clock on Wednesday doesn't matter. You're only going to get what the value is at 4 o'clock. Now, that's different when you buy a stock. If you buy an individual stock, you get moment-to-moment pricing. You get to buy the stock at what the price is trading at when the order is actually executed, which is usually within a minute or two from the time you've placed the order. Same thing happens with exchange-traded funds. Those types of funds are purchased on a minute-to-minute during market open basis. But if you're buying a mutual fund, and most people own mutual funds, most people own mutual funds in their 401k plan, for instance. And if you decide I'm going to do some trading or some mix matching or whatever of your trade during the day, you don't get the price until the market closes. So here's what happened last Friday. After Thursday, the market was down 400 points. I'm talking about two Fridays ago now. Market was down 400 points. The next morning, it opens up. It starts up a couple hundred points on Friday. And so many people went into their 401k and said, you know what? I'm not liking this thing called a trade war. This is really, really scaring me. I don't know what it means, but I know I don't like it. I don't know how it could impact me. All I got to do is trust what the talking heads have to say and what the media says, because they know best, I guess. And I'm saying this all tongue in cheek, of course, folks. And so you place your trade at 10 o'clock that morning to sell your funds because you said, at least I made a little bit. It came up a little bit this morning. We'll be good. The reality is you sold out when the market closed that day, which was down 700 and something points. That's right. Your sale happened at the end of the day, not when you said, at least the market's up a little bit. I'll get out right now. That's not what happens in mutual funds. Now, I'm not saying that mutual funds are a bad thing at all. In fact, I think they are a fabulous solution for many investors because they offer diversification. They offer professional money management. They offer you liquidity. But they also have limitations, and you need to know everything about what you're buying so that you can make smart decisions. It's something that Marion, my business partner, oftentimes says, you don't know what you don't know. And that's one of the mistakes that many investors do not realize, is that mutual funds are bought and sold at one time a day, and that is close of business. In fact, have you ever had a chance where you've maybe left an employer and you had money in the old 401k plan and you had to call up, let's say, I'm going to pick on Fidelity again, Fidelity Net Benefits. That's where a lot of people keep their 401ks and Fidelity Net Benefits. You go ahead, you call the 800 number, and you say, hey, I'd like to roll over my 401k to another custodian, whether it's to your next employer, whether it's to a brokerage account, doesn't matter. You want to roll it over. And they'll give you a confirmation number accepting your voice order, but they will also say the amount of money that is available in your rollover right now is X, but that is subject to change based upon close of business today. That's because they're not selling out until close of business. You need to make sure you understand that. I can't tell you how many people I've heard that think that the company ripped them off because they wrote down the number that they were supposed to get and the check that they actually received was different. That is true. That's going to happen. Stocks, mutual funds, bonds, markets, portfolios, 401ks, they are volatile. They move up and down. Now, volatile doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose money. Volatile means it goes up and it goes down. Now, if I could find something that just went up, oh boy. Well, if that was the case, I probably wouldn't have a radio show because I'd be on the beach somewhere making sure that I had already bought it for people. Folks, that doesn't happen. That does not happen. It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that's out there. A lot of interesting facts and figures to share with you today. One other thing I want to talk to you about as we get later into the show is I came across this report at MarketWatch because there was a story that suggested that the average individual, when it comes to credit cards, has $8,000 outstanding on their credit card right now. Average couple, household, $16,000. Now, I sit and think to myself, oh my God, how is that possible? And then there's others of you on this radio show right now that are saying, that's all? Oh, that's all? I can beat that. I got $54,000 out of my credit card. I met a guy a few years ago who mortgaged his house on credit cards. It was his wife's full-time job to keep moving money from credit card to credit card to manage those zero interest promotional rates. Now, you don't see many of those things around nowadays, but a few years ago, you did. And that's what he did. He had $175,000 out as a mortgage, and he would make minimum payments on the mortgage because he didn't have to pay any interest. And it was his wife's job to keep transferring the balance. Now, it wasn't on one credit card either. It was on 12 or 13 credit cards. That's a full-time job. And he figured that she was getting paid because he didn't have to pay the interest. So that was her compensation for saving them interest. It was kind of screwed up. I can also tell you this. They are no longer married. They are not. They no longer have that house. So you can take that to whatever you want, however you want to read that through. But I do know for a fact that they are no longer married. So figure that one out. All right. We got a lot of things to share today. The Red Sox opened up their season on Thursday against the Tampa Bay Rays. You think they're ready to do it here at Fenway this upcoming Thursday? It looks like the snow's melting. I didn't feel so good about that a week ago, but a few 50-degree days, and I think the snow will certainly disappear from Fenway Park. I mean, they get plenty of sunshine. They're not buried in the trees like many of our houses might be. But I think we're going to open it up. It's going to be chilly if you go on opening night, or opening day, I should say, on Thursday. Enjoy it, but I'll stick to going to the games starting in June. All right, we got lots more to share with you, more financial advice in a language you can understand. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where in just a week, one more week, we will be celebrating our 50th anniversary of providing financial advice, financial planning and investment advice, I should say, in a language you can understand. And in the background, we have Tony's Siri going off. I don't know if you heard that. That was Siri or somebody yelling. Siri was calling in to congratulate me because I think she heard that we were going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary. Siri, a little bit early, but thanks for thinking of me. I really appreciate it. So here we are in studio. Once again, it's been about 5 years we've been doing this at North Shore 104.9. We love answering your questions, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And here's a question. I wanted to answer a question for you because I got this earlier this week. And it's a question that, you know, I looked at it as like, oh my God, this is super simple answers to these questions. But when I got this thoughtful set of questions from them, it made me realize that, like in anything else that we do, we get so conditioned in our business to believe that some of the simplest stuff that we understand, which we believe to be simple, is not so simple for everybody else. Like, I mean, you wouldn't see me changing the piping underneath my sink or trying to unclog my toilet or, frankly, even hanging a picture because, you know, I'm really bad at it. If you were to pull anything, funny thing is as you many of you know, I'm selling my house. I'm dreading the day when I have to take some of the pictures off the wall because someone's going to see the number of nail holes behind that picture of where I missed. And it'll be interesting, to say the least. But this question that I got, it came from a client of ours, actually a new client. And he was asking some questions about the IRAs. They're a married couple. They're both 65 years old right now. And one of the questions that they asked was, when I die, how will it affect my spouse, and he used his wife's name, my spouse's IRA? He was wondering, okay, I have an IRA. So let me try to reframe the question in a language that you can understand. He has an IRA, and he's wondering what happens to it when he dies. Well, some people will say, well, the will take care of it. That is not true. Not in most cases, at least. Because chances are, if you have an IRA, if you have a 401k, a 403b, an annuity, chances are on that application, you had something that was called a beneficiary designation. And you probably named your spouse as what's called the primary beneficiary, the first beneficiary. So that if you die, your IRA is supposed to go to the spouse. And that's what would happen, frankly. If you died and you were married, the money would go and roll right over to your spouse or into the spouse's IRA. You could do that as well. They could roll in there. However, if the beneficiary was not the spouse, rules are a little different. So if you're cohabitating with somebody, but you're not married and maybe you've named them beneficiary, or perhaps you're the survivor of a household or the surviving spouse and the remaining beneficiaries are your children, the rules are a little different. You see, when you transfer from husband to wife or from wife to husband or spouse to spouse, the money rolls over without any taxes having to be paid. The money just transitions right over. However, if you left it to, let's say you have two children, and let's say there was $100,000 in your IRA, and your two children are the beneficiaries, this doesn't roll over into their IRA. It does not. The kids have a choice. They can actually, believe it or not, cash it out. They can say, give me my money. I want it now. And I will tell you, 50% of the time, that is what they do. I know you don't want to hear that, la, 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 la. You don't want to hear that that might happen. But they do. A lot of times. I see it all too often. So what happens is if, let's say you have two children and one says, well, I'm going to take the money. And the other one says, well, I don't want the money right now. So the one child that takes the money, they, even let's say the child is 40, let's say they're under 59 and a half years old. That means that normally they would have to pay a 10% penalty if they took money out of their own IRA. But if they receive mom's IRA as a beneficiary, they do not have to pay the 10% tax penalty. However, they must pay taxes on the money. So if they inherited $50,000 of the $100,000 we use in this example, and they said, give me my money, they would take $50,000, have it added to their income, and they'd have to pay tax on that. But that money is theirs. Use it however they want. But doesn't a child, you might think, have the opportunity to just roll it over into an IRA? Well, they can roll it into something that's called a beneficiary IRA. A beneficiary IRA. So what that means is that you could roll the money over, have a separate IRA. It can't be combined with the child's IRA. It has to be separate. It's called a beneficiary IRA. And once a year, or at least once a year, you are required to take a distribution from that IRA. That distribution is calculated off a table, and it's a minimum amount of money. So let's say the amount was $50,000 that you just rolled over to the beneficiary IRA. You roll that money over, and now you have to take a minimum distribution. That distribution might be 3%. It's a small amount of money. That amount that you take out, that is subject to tax. But the remaining money that sits in the beneficiary IRA grows tax deferred. Now, you as the owner of that beneficiary IRA have the right to invest it any way you want. You can stick it in a CD at the bank. You can buy an investment portfolio. You can do lots of things with that IRA. But the last thing, unless you absolutely need to, I don't want to see you cash it out, but all too many people do it. All right, so as I wrote here, the first question was, what happens if I die, and how does that affect my spouse? Then he asked me, what happens when the last spouse dies? What happens to the IRAs? Well, I think I kind of explained that to you. When the second spouse dies, the remaining funds go to the beneficiaries listed on the IRA agreement. In this person's case, they had two daughters who were listed as equal beneficiaries. They would each have options as to how to receive the funds, and I just kind of explained that to you. All right, so now I'm going to make it a little bit more complicated for you. You ready for this? Let's say you are the surviving spouse and you have two children, and those two children have two children. So there's you, two children, and then four grandchildren, right? Two for each one. But what happens if you've named your two children as beneficiaries, but one of them predeceases you? So you've died, and now the only beneficiary that's named, well, you've named your two children, but one of your children is not listed there, or even is listed there, but is not alive. What happens to the money? Well, there's two things that could happen. One thing would be that your child, the surviving child, would get his half, and the grandchildren of your child who had passed away would get the other half. That is a designation that is called per stirpes. It's a designation that you have a choice to place on your beneficiary designation on your IRA. Unfortunately, that is not the default designation, and most people do not know that. The default designation is something that is called pro rata, which means that if one of my children pass away before me, the remaining gets split by the remaining children. So in the example that I just presented to you, the surviving child will get 100% of the IRA. The sibling who had predeceased the person, they would get nothing. Of course, they've passed away, but neither would that child's children. So most people do not realize that the debt that the default designation on primary on the default designation for contingent beneficiaries is pro rata. I would strongly encourage you to absolutely review, and don't take the word of your financial advisor, say send me a copy that proves it, that your designations are lined up the way you want. Now, some people might say, I want it to be pro rata. Others will say, it better be per stirpus. All I'm doing is giving you the education, the financial advice, in a language you can understand so that you can go out and make an informed decision. Many people who have been with companies for 40, 50 years, I mean, there's folks that have been at the GE, at Procter & Gamble, formerly Gillette, all these different places. They've been there a long, long time, right? If you started at age 18 in the company 401k plan, who do you think you put down as beneficiary? Do you think you put down your spouse? You might have still been living with mom and dad. You might have put your mother, your father, your siblings. Maybe you're on your second or third spouse. Maybe you've been working, for Raytheon. And you're on your third husband. How would you like to find out? Or actually, you wouldn't find out because you'd be dead. You'd be dead, and your first husband is awarded your IRA. How'd you like that? Now, there'd be some battling. There'd be negotiations. Your current spouse would get some of it, maybe even all. You never know. But imagine the battling that would go on. How about second marriages, third marriages? Then you got the kids and all that kind of stuff. Folks, I can't tell you how important it is to make sure that not only you think your beneficiary designations are correct, but make sure they legitimately are correct. That is important. Notice I haven't talked about which mutual fund to buy or what stock to purchase or what bond. That stuff doesn't matter if the money is intended for someone that you don't want it to go to. Let's take care of that stuff first. Lots of things that are involved in financial planning and investment management. And at Friedman Financial, that's what we do every day. Yes, we manage money. In fact, we're up to managing close to $400 million right now with close to 500 households that we serve. And yeah, we can do it. We've got the systems. We have this piece of software, which is fabulous, that allows us to share our dashboard with you so that you can see where you stand financially, not just your investment account, but everything about your financial life. Because who manages their financial life by just their retirement account? I want you to see your life in its entirety in front of you whenever you want. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, if now's the time to schedule a face-to-face appointment with our office, I would love to meet with you. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Remember, you don't know what you don't know, and we want to steer you on a course that is towards success, not towards failure. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I got more stories to share with you. I'm going to continue on the questions that I keep getting, and we'll also talk about 15 things credit card companies are hoping you'll forget. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand. understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. Oh, hey, happy Easter. Today's Easter Sunday. I realize that. You know, I'm the Jewish guy here in the booth, so I kind of lose track of when Easter is, but I do know that it is the third day of Passover. That's kind of a fun holiday. We do something that's called a Seder, a Passover Seder. We do it on Friday night and Saturday night this week. It was nice getting the family together. You tell the story of the Israelis' exodus from Egypt. I still haven't figured out how to part the Red Sea at the Seder table yet. I do spill wine, though. So maybe that you do drink four glasses of wine. I mean, that's part of the ritual of the Seder is you're responsible. You have to do your part. Four glasses of wine. Now, Lara's family is the weirdest thing. Not that my Lara's family is the weirdest thing, but, well, they kind of are. But they have this thing for the Seder. When it's time to drink each glass of wine, they insist you have to chug the glass of wine. You don't drink it, you just chug it. Now, that's because they still insist on serving Manischewitz Concord grape wine. So it's like Xarex. You can chug that pretty easy. I prefer not to anymore. But it's always an experience. All different types of great food. If you're trying to go on a low-carb diet for the week of Passover, forget it. Everything is a little weighty, let's just say. It's heavy, oily-based stuff. But nevertheless, happy Easter to all of you. I hope you're out searching for Easter eggs. It's also April Fool's Day. That's right. Today's also April Fool's Day. So I saw this thing. You know those little chocolate eggs that you can get, little mini chocolate eggs? I saw on Facebook this past week an idea for April Fool's is to take unwrap all of the chocolate eggs, you know, with the colorful foil, and wrap up grapes. And take grapes and wrap them up with the foil and hide those. I thought that was pretty cool, actually. I mean, what I've done for Halloween, I've gone for trick-or-treat. You know, I mean, we've gone for these trick-or-treat parties or whatever. And oftentimes people will bring, like, chocolate bonbons or these little truffles. And so I will make some of those truffles, but I'll also make chocolate-covered Brussels sprouts. So you can't tell which is which. But, you know, just have fun. It's April Fool's Day today. So it's now, so absolutely, so I can now say it's 85 degrees here in the studio here at Beverly. Hope you're all doing well. Stock market just hit 42,000 over the weekend. April Fool's, folks, that's not what happened. You know, Tony here, or I should say, no, I'm not even going to go there. I was going to make a little political reference. I'm not going to go there. So welcome back, like I said, to Dollars and Cents. I want to finish up the couple questions I got from a client who had some retirement questions. Then I got another story to tell you about this client, a doctor of someone came by to see us, had a not necessarily a client yet, but they came by to tell us a story. And you're going to be blown away by this one. All right, let me finish up the retirement things, though. Question number three that they asked was, they said, is the beginning age for mandatory withdrawals, well, the beginning age for mandatory withdrawals is 70 and a half years old. I think everybody knows that. They said, what is the ending age at what it has to all be withdrawn? I thought that was a fair question. So at age 70 and a half, many people know that you need to take a minimum distribution from your IRA. Yes, you have to take a minimum amount from your IRA. Now, the amount that you have to take around 70 and a half is about 3.6% of the value. So if your account value is $100,000, the year in which you turn 70 and a half, you'd have to take $3,600 plus or minus. You can always take out more, absolutely, but you can't take out less, or there is a 50% penalty. But the general consensus by a lot of folks is that at some point in your life, you're going to have to cash out the IRA altogether. That is a myth. That is not true. In fact, when you hit age, where's a number here? Age 95. When you hit age 95, you are required to take out about 12.5% of the value. So let's say there's $100,000 remaining in your IRA. You'd have to take out $12,500 plus or minus from your account. So you never really cash it out. Even, I'm looking here at the chart. This is a chart that is, it's put out by the IRS. It shows what those distribution ages should be, what the period should be. At age 100, you have to take out 1/6 of the value. So there's never a time when you have to take out 100%. Well, no one's had to yet. Maybe if you live to like 304, but I haven't met anybody that's done that yet. So the likelihood of you cashing out your entire IRA is not driven by the government. It would be predicated on you for doing that. And finally, question number 4, they asked, is there any reason that we can't start withdrawing a set amount of money from our IRA now in order to spread it out over a longer period of time? They actually thought that there was a finite period in which they had to take their money out. Now, these folks are 65 years old. Can they take money from their IRA right now? Absolutely they can. They can take it out because they're over the age of 59 and a half, and they have to pay tax on the amount of money that they take out, but they do not have to pay any penalties for taking out early. You can take it out whenever you want. And sometimes, folks, there are many cases when it makes sense to take your distributions from IRAs earlier. That's a topic for another day, and probably something that is presented on a one-on-one basis. If you're collecting Social Security from sources, maybe you still have part-time income, and you're trying to figure out where should I take money from to support my lifestyle, maybe you have money in the bank, money in an investment account, money in an IRA, there may, and I said may, be a reason, even though you might think the IRA is taxable, there may be a reason to take out some money out of the IRA, and maybe it won't be as taxable as you thought. That's the kind of stuff we figure out. That's the stuff we talk about in our office every day with our clients. Our office is located at 41 Cross Street. That's in Peabody. We are Friedman Financial, and my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of the company. Next week, we will be celebrating our 50th, that's right, 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. 90% of our clients still live within 10 miles of our office in Peabody. Yeah, some people have roots that we hear in the North Shore, and they've migrated out to Florida or to Texas or to South Carolina or to Georgia or whatever. We are licensed in all 50 states, so we can help you even if you transfer or relocate or snowbird or whatever it is that you might like to do. All right, I told you I'd tell you this funny story. It's not funny, really. It's kind of shocked me. I'd never seen this before. Had a person come in. They'd heard us on the radio. Person's a doctor. They make $400,000 a year as a doctor. Okay? She is at home. She's at home. They got kids that are in the teenage years. She comes in and she says to me, Mark, we're trying to get stuff ready for retirement. They're in their early 50s. But we can't seem to make ends meet. I don't know where the money goes. I have to borrow money all the time to cover our expenses. And I'm saying, well, tell me, what is it that you're spending? She says, we don't live a lavish lifestyle. So I'm thinking to myself, you make $400,000 a year. You can't make ends meet, but you say you don't live a lavish lifestyle. So where is the money going? So they bring all their stuff. See, when you come to our office, in preparation for an initial consultation, we ask you to prepare things. We ask you to bring some stuff. That might be tax returns, your most recent pay stub, bank statements, investment statements, insurance policies, all that stuff, wills, trusts, any of the stuff that you have. Bring it to us. We're not going to go through it all, but it gives us a general sense as to what we're in for if we want to start doing some financial planning work with you. Well, little did we find out that $400,000, he actively participates in the 401k at work. And there's a profit sharing as well. So actually, as one of the owners of the place, he's putting in close to $50,000, a lot of money, into the retirement plan. He has taxes withheld. So his take-home pay is around $200,000. After all the things that are taken out of his take-home pay, is around $200,000. But get this. $120,000 of it, of his take-home pay, goes to insurance premiums. What? $10,000 a month he is writing to whole life insurance policies. He has total life insurance of roughly $8 million. So if he died, his wife would get $8 million. But meanwhile, they are living, a family of four, Not that you can't do it, but they're living a family of four on $80,000 of take-home pay. You can certainly do that, don't get me wrong. But when you hear someone making $400,000 and imagine that they're living at roughly $7,000 a month, it shocked me. Why are you spending $120,000 for insurance? And she says, well, there was this life insurance agent that came into our office probably 15 years ago, and he told me about the earning potential that I will have as a doctor and how it's important for me to protect my family because there could be malpractice. There could be, you know, I could get my, you know, I could slice my hand. I could not be able to operate. I couldn't do certain things. And he told me I need to start putting some money away, some serious money away. And I didn't know how to argue with that, so we've just always done it. $10,000 a month to insurance companies just for life insurance. Now, is he building up cash value? Yes, he has done that. Okay? He has done that. In fact, there's close to $800,000 in cash value of his life insurance policies. But he's spending $120,000 right now, and he's not quite sure how he's going to also be able to afford college costs for his kids and insurance premiums. One of the things that I've learned is that doctors play an incredibly, incredibly important role in our lives. They save lives, but they also don't have the time to sometimes take care of their own personal financial situation because they're so embodied in the work that they have to do. They carry an enormous burden on them in trying to carry that. And so they look for people who are experts. And as long as you have you can show a diploma, right? You're working for the best company. I mean, that's what it's all about at doctors, right? You know, where did you go to school? All that stuff. They just trust them. And I see this happen a lot. I see this happen all too much. This one was the big one, though, that I saw this week. I do know that they will become clients of our office, and we're going to fix things up a little bit. But I was floored. Perhaps you know somebody that is spending an enormous amount of money on life insurance, and they don't quite know. When I asked them the question, why do you have life insurance? Why do you have $8 million of life insurance? He says, well, to protect my family if I die. I said, well, your family is living off of $80,000 a year right now. They're not living off of, he was thinking I have to replace $400,000 a year. No. If you die and you get $8 million, by the way, you get $8 million tax free. He doesn't need $8 million of insurance and certainly doesn't need to be paying that much of a premium for it. He's in great health. And there's other ways around doing that. And being able to use some of the money that they've been putting aside into cash value of plans, getting able to put some of the money on regular cash flow and putting it towards areas that will benefit them while they're alive. That's the thing. I mean, he is worth so much more dead than he is alive. And they're struggling trying to figure out how to make ends meet because he's buried. In these insurance policies. Oh, and by the way, he said, well, I'm going to have to pay estate taxes. I need this for estate taxes. Well, that may or may not be true. Who knows what it'll be when he dies? But he just moved to New Hampshire. And New Hampshire doesn't have a state estate tax. Lots to learn, lots to think about. It basically goes back to what Marion had said earlier. You don't know what you don't know. And they don't know what they don't know. And we're going to help them. We want to keep helping you. We want to keep providing financial advice in a language you can understand. And when we get back, I'm going to talk about the 15 things credit card companies are hoping that you will forget. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between 4 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno, located at 41 Cross Street. If you haven't been to the beautiful, fabulous, the tasty, highly decorative, actually very cool decoratively place, Alto Forno, it is an Italian, a northern Italian restaurant with Mediterranean and Greek influences. The food is fabulous. Our office is on the second floor. We're also right in front of that big, giant yellow eyesore that kind of has been popping up on Cross Street. Hopefully that will be stuccoed over soon. It's going to be, I believe, it may be a small hotel. It may be an apartment complex. I'm not quite sure what it's going to finally be there, but it won't be yellow. I know that for sure. That I've been promised by the landlord that it will not be yellow. So that will be good, because the reflection of that yellow wall into my office right now is pretty bright. Anyways, we've been talking about real life stories, things that really happened in my office, and I think I've shocked a few people by sharing some information with you. One of the things that I shared, I think, in the second segment was this idea that the average individual has almost $8,000 outstanding in credit cards. Average couple has $16,000 outstanding in credit cards. And as you've probably heard, interest rates are going up. They just ratcheted up a little bit more lately. Folks, interest rates at the bank are not necessarily going to ratchet up. You're not going to get 5% money market funds and all that stuff. Probably not in our lifetime, unless inflation just hits 13% or something. And I don't see that happening. Market's been very volatile, but volatile means both up and down. That does not necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Market is finding its way. What has been fascinating to me is how reactionary markets are on news that people don't understand. You heard the term trade war a week and a half ago, and boom, market drops 1,100 points. And then people realize, oh, that's not so bad. And it comes popping back, and then it goes back up and go back down. And whether it's our president, whether it's our Congress, whether it's a rally in Washington, whatever it is, someone's got something positive to say, someone's got something negative to say, and if you don't like what they have to say, man, do people get angry. We don't work out anything here in this country right now. We just draw a thicker line. That's what we try to do. We draw a wall. That was a reference to, I'm sorry. All right, never mind. So at least we're drawing it, not building it, right? So we're drawing it. Anyways, there was a story that appeared in Market Watch. It's called 15 Things Credit Card Companies Are Hoping That You Will Forget. I want to share some of that with you. But before I jump in, here's something that will help you understand how this all fits. I was out for lunch about 2 years ago with a president of a local credit union. And I asked him, how's business going? He says, business going pretty good. I said, really? I said, how is business going so well when lending rates are so low? I mean, that's how banks make money. They make money by lending you money and collecting interest on the money that they lend. He says, yeah, he says, the lending business, I'm not making any money there, really. He says, you know what I'm making money? On fees. Fees, really. He says, you know what's kind of interesting? And I think it's next week or the week after, I'm having people from the state of Massachusetts on our call who are trying to push through a bill to mandate financial education in every classroom in the state. Because the reality is that we've pushed this, tried to push it through 20 times already, and it never even gets to a vote on the floor. Do you know who blocks it? Oh, the banks. What, the banks? What do you mean the banks block this? Why don't the banks want our kids to be better, more financially literate? Because that is a losing proposition for a bank. Banks make money on your stupidity. Do you realize that almost half of the revenue that comes into a bank right now, certainly small credit unions, is the fees that they're collecting from ATM charges, bounce checks, overdrafts, missing payments, all of those types of things? True. And we all play into it. And we say to ourselves, oh, it's just $2, $3. It's not a big deal. Well, all those $2 and $3 really and truly add up. So now let's see how that further translates into the rational or irrational thinking, I should say, of people that have credit cards. Here's 15 things credit card companies are hoping that you'll forget. Number one, that a late payment will cost you big bucks. You may already know that a late charge in your credit card can be as high as $75, depending on the company. But did you also know that a late payment can also increase your interest rate? The highest interest rate allowed by law varies from state to state, but some late payment makers could see an increase in their rate go as high as, get this, 30%. Most people don't look. All you're looking at when you get your credit card statement now is, what's my minimum payment? What do I have to pay? Folks, this is how credit card companies, they're making a fortune right now. I think it's fascinating that you can go to a bank right now and borrow money at 3, 4, 5, 6%. But you go to a credit card company and you can borrow money for 20%. How do they get away with it? You know how they get away with it? Because they can, and you're willing to use them. Because you think, well, at least I'm going to get some points on this. When's the last time you really used the points that you've collected? Do you realize that for every dollar you spend, you get, I think it's for every $100 you spent. For every dollar you spend, you get a point, okay? Some places are, we'll give you double points or triple points. But have you ever noticed that it costs 25,000 points to get a $25 Amazon gift card? Tell me when that makes sense. It really, if you're carrying a balance on your credit card and you're doing it because you also think you'll make money with points, folks, I'll just say it straight out. You're a fool. It's that simple. I just will cut to the chase. You are a fool. And if you have cash in the bank and you're carrying credit card debt and you're not paying off your credit card debt because you just don't want to lose the money that you've accumulated in the bank, once again, welcome to fooldom. You know you'd give your kids that advice, but will you do it yourself? Credit card companies are feasting, absolutely feasting on you because they know you are too lazy to do it. For those of you that use a credit card, pay off your balances, leverage your points, take advantage of it. I do. I use a credit card for almost everything I do. I have two credit cards. I have a Marriott Rewards card and I have a JetBlue MasterCard. I pay them off every month, but my points go towards trying to achieve Mosaic status at JetBlue. My points go towards potential hotel stays or upgrades that I can get at Marriott. But I'm not carrying a balance. People will say, well, what's the interest rate on it? I have no idea. They could charge me 75%. I don't care because I'm never going to pay that interest rate. And if you need credit cards to cover you on a long-term basis because you say, well, that's the only way I can cover my costs, then you have a problem. You have to do a few things. Number one, stop spending so much damn money. Or number two, get a better job. You know what's kind of interesting? There was a report that came out. I'm trying to find this number here on... here it is. This came out by the numbers. MFS Investments shared this with me March 26th. And it says here, get this number. There were 6.3 million job openings in America as of 1/31/18. There are currently 6.7 million jobless Americans as of 2/28/18. Let me be sure I got that right. There are 6.3 million jobs available for Americans, and there are 6.7 million people who are listed as jobless in America. Help me out here. That does not make sense. Find a job, work at it, make money, cover your expenses. If there's something left over, enjoy it or save it. But do not overspend. It's just that simple. A couple other mistakes credit card companies are hoping that you'll forget is that everything is negotiable. Did you know that if you carry a debt, or you missed a payment, or you charge a late fee. Did you know that you can pick up the phone and call them and say, tell them the story as to why you missed it, and they'll probably wipe it away? Now, if you do this on a regular basis, don't count on it. But they are very reasonable. How about account fees or annual fees? Sometimes you get stuck buying a credit card where the first year the annual fee was free, but you got sucked in because the next year they charge an annual fee. And because you don't look at the itemization of your credit card bill, you don't even know that you were charged it. But you can generally call your credit card company and convert it to another card that has no annual fee. Did you know you can do that? What other things? Oh, here's another one on here. Another reason that's called, the title is 15 Things Credit Card Companies Are Hoping You'll Forget. Grace periods aren't that grateful. Making a late payment should be avoided at all costs, especially when it comes to no interest credit cards. Paying off a balance in full just a couple days late will still result in interest being charged all the way back to the date of purchase. So if you buy a new TV on a credit card that promises no interest for 18 months and it takes you all 18 months to pay it back, make sure that the last payment happens on time, or else you could be looking at 18 months worth of interest. That happens on credit cards. That happens, I mean, go to Jordan's, go to any place where they offer that interest-free financing. It all rolls back. If you miss it by one day, they're not that forgiving. You had 18 months to get it right. Too bad if you missed it by one day. There are no do-overs. This is not like our local high school where if you get a 70 on an exam and you go, oh, I'm not very happy with that exam, can I take it again? And your teacher says, yes. What? What is that all about? What is that all about? That is just absolutely, well, we want to be sure that we're bringing up our children properly. And no, it's about the schools looking for better ratings, but not necessarily getting the most educated kids, as far as I'm concerned. If your kid is supposed to study for a test and they don't study for a test and they get a 62, they earned a 62, not another chance to do it over. And oh, and by the way, but there's a rule around that at the schools where my kids go. If you got a 91 on the test and you go, well, I'd really like to try to get 100. Oh, sorry. You got better than a 90. You're not eligible for a do-over. But if I got a 4, I can do a do-over. That is insane. Absolutely insane. Just a little more financial advice in a language you can understand. A couple other things before we got to get out of here. I'll got to find one more here to give it to you. Let's see. Cash advances are paid last. When you make a payment, how do you know exactly which purchase is paid for? You don't, and that's the problem. You can't control what gets paid first and what's paid last. If you take cash advances from your credit card, they are paid off last and usually carry a higher interest rate. If you need to take a cash advance from your credit card, you'd be better off using one that has no balance. That's what the advice is. You'd be better off not taking money from your credit card. And if you don't have the money, don't spend it. It's that simple. We're here to provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. If you'd like to receive my free newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation to help get your financial house in order, to help get you on the right track as you approach retirement, or even if you're in retirement, we would love to meet with you. Our phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're not in the office today, but leave a message. We'll be sure to get back to you and schedule a free initial consultation for you. That's going to do it for me. I'm going to make room for Aurelia Nelson. Curtain Up is up next. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.